Hello and welcome to Soundwaves, the official podcast of the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust. Around about a year ago, we launched our ambitions for the next 3 years, our goals for 2023 to 2025. It's now a year later, and it's right that we check back in with these ambitions to let you know how we're doing. So I asked our CEO, Frank Fletcher, to join me, along with Communications Manager Carenza and our Operations Manager in Largs, James, to talk a little about the last year. And the future too. To be updated on every ambition, please go to our website where you'll find a blog in our news section that gives more detail about what we've been up to. I think these little episodes are important because it's vital you know what guides us as a charity. Inspiring young people living through and beyond cancer is our North Star, and ambitions help us track our route, so we do that as best as we can, so we keep learning and keep giving this our all. With that, it's over to Frank, Carenza and James. Hello, Frank, James, Carenza, thanks for being here. You know, we use this podcast for all sorts of things. Sometimes young people come on and talk about their lives. Sometimes volunteers share things from their point of view. And sometimes we talk about what's going on at the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust. This is one of those episodes. It was around this time last year we launched our ambitions for 2023 to 2025, which come under the umbrella of Bigger Impact, Brighter Futures. Frank, tell us about the last 12 months. How has the last year been for the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust?
Thanks, Scott, and it's wonderful to be back on the podcast. You know, it's one of the things I most enjoy. So I think that it's been a difficult year for anybody to run a charity, and I hope what comes across today and is that just how much effort and how hard the team have worked, that despite some of the challenges that we've seen and other charities have seen in the last 12 months, that we have still managed to make great strides in the ambitions that this time 12 months ago we were launching. So it's been really great to see just how hard all of the team have worked to make sure that we still achieve what we need to achieve despite the tough time it is.
So I want to talk about some of the ambitions more specifically, and the very first one in there is build belonging. Carenza, this is super important to us. We've talked about it loads as a team. If you were to tell people about build belonging over the last 12 months, what would you say to them?
Yeah, thanks, Scott, and echo Frank. It's great to be back on the podcast. I think this work's been going on in the background for a couple of years now. And, you know, it was something that we identified that we needed to do because, you know, we are not representative of the young people, all the young people in this country that have a cancer diagnosis. And it's something we now have to think really intentionally about addressing. And the last couple of years have really been about understanding why we're not representative, where the barriers are. And now we're coming to the point of really understanding what we need to do about it. We know that we are all about trying to improve young people's mental well-being. That is our raison d'etre. If we can help young people feel more like they belong on our trips, we will help increase their mental well-being. And that's really what the Build Belonging ambition is all about. It's trying to make sure that we're relevant, visible and accessible to every young person in this country that has a cancer diagnosis. As I said, we've been sort of starting, we're on the brink of launching our Equality, Diversity, Inclusion and Belonging Plan. We're rolling that out with the team currently, and we will be talking about that soon, more publicly. But now we have a really sort of clear roadmap to actually how we're going to start addressing some of the issues and barriers that we've identified over the last couple of years. And that's really where we're at.
I think this work is so important. You know, of all the ambitions that we launched 12 months ago, I think that this Build Belonging piece of work that we have started and we will continue to do for a very, very long time, if not forever, is hugely important. We know we're not reaching all of the young people who are in recovery from cancer that we could, and it is really important that we do.
I'm not going to go through every ambition. I'm going to keep emphasizing you should go read the blog on our website. But Carenza, could you also speak about our ambition to go further, which is about supporting young people all year round? Could you explain particularly our work with Mind Over Cancer and how that's come along in the last year?
Yeah, so this has been a really interesting part of our work actually, because this is something that's very much born out of the virtual summer that we ran during the pandemic. So for those of you who don't know, during 2020, when we couldn't get on the water, we went wholly online and ran virtual summer activities. And one of those things that sort of came out of that was this need for year-round support and young people needing support beyond their trips and how we might facilitate that. And obviously, we all learned a huge amount about online capabilities during the pandemic. So what we did with Mind Over Cancer are run by Susie Shaw, who's been a longtime friend of the Trust, and the incredible Sue Morgan, MBE, who's been one of our biggest champions for many, many years. And they work with young people who've had cancer in terms of improving their mental health and supporting mental health. And we've done lots and lots of different stuff with them in the past in the background. But this was really about giving young people the opportunity to join regular online wellbeing sessions where they could come and just talk about some of the things that have been causing them distress or causing them anxiety, or just things that they want to talk about. Quite a lot of them have been around late effects. There's been conversations around early menopause. There's been conversations around survivor's guilt. All those sorts of things that young people often feel like they're trying to deal with on their own. And actually providing these sessions once a month for young people to come and just talk to other young people that they might have met on their trips or that have definitely had Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust support, give them that platform to sort of, you know, talk through some of this with people who really know what they're talking about in Sue and Susie. Those sessions are continuing at the moment. They run till May. Then there'll be a little break. And then we will, hopefully, the plan is to bring them back again for October time and run them again over the autumn, winter. And we'll be making sure that young people are aware of those opportunities as the summer, you know, progresses and they think they might need that additional support that we can offer it beyond their trip.
James, you've become the go-to expert in all things to do with our online impact dashboard, and one of our ambitions is to drive impact. That was quite a jargony intro to that question. So can you tell the people listening what our online impact dashboard is, what it shows, and how it ties into our ambition to drive impact?
Absolutely, Scott. So yeah, our impact dashboard. So the first thing I need to tell you is where to find it. So ellenmacarthurcancertrust.org/impact is where you'll find our impact dashboard. What that is that is showing you the difference that the Trust makes to young people based on the number of questionnaires that we've sent out throughout trips. And I'd really encourage you to go and have a little look at that yourself. So anyone listening to the podcast, find 5 minutes, 10 minutes, go and have a little look. Have a little look through what age groups, trips, locations, and have a little look at the difference that is being made and that you could potentially help make even more. It's really key to our ambition of driving impact. We've got to understand the difference we make, and we've got to understand that impact across all the age groups we work with, across the types of trips we do, with the aim of doing it better. So you'll see lots of numbers displayed on that screen about how many young people are improving in their well-being, how many are having no change, and how many might be declining. And actually, it's really important to understand all three of those numbers. You know, for young people who aren't seeing the change that we would hope that they're seeing, or actually having a decline, to understand that so that we can look at our activity and our programs and what we offer as a Trust over the future and work on that and get more young people into having a really positive improvement in well-being based on their time with the Trust.
I think it's also worth mentioning here that you've just been talking to and visiting with our partners around the country who help get young people on these trips. Can you tell us about how we are working with our partners on these ambitions?
Absolutely. So yeah, our partners are so important in enabling us to make this difference, have this impact, because without a lot of them, we simply would not be able to present this opportunity to all the young people that we do currently. So myself and colleagues around the Trust have been doing a lot of meetings and visits with some of our contacts who help us refer young people to these opportunities. So that might be clinical nurse specialists based in hospitals, some play specialists. It might be social workers from lots of different organisations that work with us. And we've been visiting them virtually and some of them in person to let them know what's changed, what's new this year, what new opportunities there might be. We've been talking about some of the Mind Over Cancer opportunities that we were talking about earlier. We have been Talk about how they can help us refer more young people, how we can break down some of those barriers, how we can make sure we're reaching some of the groups that might not see this as an opportunity for them. They're so key in that relationship because they are front line with a lot of these young people. They're spending the time with them in their one-to-one sessions, on the wards, through the peer support activities that they're running through their organizations. So they're really key to understanding some of the reasons why people do come and why people don't come, so that we can help make sure that everyone knows it's an opportunity that they can attend.
There's a blog on our website, like I say, I'm going to keep mentioning it, please go to read it, that goes through each ambition and tells you where we're at 1 year on. So like I said, this isn't an in-depth discussion on every point, but I'd like to bring in a fundraising ambition here. Grow loyalty is especially to do with our community. Frank, can you talk about the last 12 months for this ambition?
So it's a very challenging time for fundraising and for charities, Scott. So actually our ambitions around the trust and how we diversify our income, how we reach more supporters is really important. And we've made some great strides forward in terms of, you know, different things that we're doing to raise money. So everything from 200 for 20 to being involved in, you know, different activities. But I think my big message today to everybody listening to this podcast is, if you have been waiting to support the trust, if you have an idea of how you'd like to support the trust, then now is the time to talk to us and talk to the fundraising team and help us to make sure that we can achieve all of the other ambitions that we talk about on the blog, that you've mentioned, that we've talked about in this podcast. You know, we need help, and we are really moving forward with our fundraising team. We've added to our team. It's great to have Christian on board. But if you've been thinking about supporting the trust, but you never quite got to pick up the phone or drop us that email, now is the time. But also, we've been doing a lot of work in the background about how we make sure that those people who've supported us for, you know, for a long time, there are people who've been making monthly donations since 2003. There are so many supporters who are so loyal to us. And it's really important that we make sure that we communicate the difference that they are making to young people in recovery from cancer.
James, a big part of talking about our impact, talking about our ambitions progress, is to do with transparency. What benefits are there to being this open and honest about the difference we are making and aspiring to make?
I think it's a really good question, Scott. And I think it's really important. I think if I read a figure that seemed that this organization just did absolutely everything to 100%, I'd probably be a little bit skeptical. I think that transparency is really important for people to be able to trust in what we're doing and that it's worth coming to the opportunity. So as we said, you can look at our impact dashboard. It is completely unfiltered, unpolished. We don't edit it. You see what we see. It's live. It updates through the season as those surveys are going out. So it really is a true reflection of the difference that we're having with the young people. I think that's so important for funders, for us as deliverers to look at and to make changes on, that to know that it is unpolished, unfiltered. It is what is happening at the trust.
I completely agree. I think it's so important that we show funders and partners that we're not interested in just sharing the glossy bits with them. I think it's about letting everybody know what all our learning is in the organisation, so that we can have that credibility with them. I totally agree, James.
If someone's listening to this and they want to be able to help with our ambitions, what would be helpful?
There are two things that you can do if you're listening to this podcast and you want to help. If you work with young people in recovery from cancer, or if you know a young person in recovery from cancer, please make sure that they know of the opportunities that are open to them at the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust. And if you're listening to this podcast and you can help us to raise funds, diversify our income so that we're able to support those young people, please, please talk to us. Now is the time.
So we've looked back and we've looked at where we are now. What can you tell us about the next 12 months before we sit here again in March 2025 and survey the scene again? What's next?
I think one of the most exciting things about the next 12 months is the demand for our services that we're seeing. It really feels like we are coming out of that terrible shadow that COVID had over us, where people were still very nervous about spending time in a small space. And it really feels like we're now looking forward, and there are lots of young people who want to come on our trips and want to spend time with other young people who've been through the same experience as them.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I'd probably also add, just in terms of the Build Belonging work, that's really going to ramp up this year. And as I said, we're just about to launch the plan that we've got, and that's going to involve stuff that will happen and people will sort of see quite quickly happening on trips this summer, alongside more formal training for the team and more formal training for our volunteers and skippers. So that will really start to sort of come into force this year, and as Frank said, continue over a long period of time from here. And I mentioned Mine Over Cancer earlier, and again, I'm hoping very much that we can build on the start of the pilot program of that last year, because I think we've seen the value in that brings to young people. So yeah, I'm hoping very much that sort of becomes a bit of a staple on the Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust offer.
Yeah, I would echo what Corinda and Frank said. I'm really excited. We've got lots of young people looking forward to coming on trips with the Trust this year. And we've got some exciting new opportunities happening for some of these trips, from working with Flynn's Barn to our new Jurassic cruising on the South Coast, and a few others in between. I'm really excited to speak to the young people, you know, before and after those trips and see how they got on.
I think a nice way to round off would be, you know, this is kind of where it feels like the season ahead is really starting to kick off. The visits and meetings that James has been having, our volunteer training is really soon. What are you most looking forward to in the year ahead?
I'm looking forward to what I always look forward to every year, Scott, and that is just seeing young people on trips in Largs and in Cowes and in all the centres and the other providers that we use across the country. You know, just that moment when you're at a barbecue or you're at a residential centre or you're in the Isle of Bute or in Yarmouth, and you see that magic of what we do, and you see that difference that we're making firsthand.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to being in the room with 30 odd young people and listen to their week and just imagining the fun that they've been having as they tell their stories of their best bits, their funniest bits. Just really, really hearing the difference that they've been able to achieve and be with us for a week.
Yeah, mine's slightly tied to that, but slightly different. It's a bit more of a comms perspective on it. Every year there's always we do multiple, many interviews over the course of the summer, as the comms team, Ashton and Scott lead on all of that. And there's always one quote that somebody says during the course of the summer that sort of stays in your brain forever and just sort of cuts to the heart straight away. And, you know, I love that time when we're looking through the content that we've got and when we start putting Inspire together and things like that, really, really sort of seeing the stories that have been told and hearing the stories of the difference that we've made through the young people, through the young people's own words. And as I said, there's always that one quote that stands out and stays seared on your brain forever. And you never know what you're going to get. And that's what makes it all so beautiful.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much to Frank, Carenza and James, and you two for listening in. There won't be a new episode next week, but we'll be back pretty soon after that, so don't worry. Until then, take care.